Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the ground. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. One from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kingsville Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing Caulfield 1000 Day. We've got two cracking Group 1s with the 1000 Guineas and the Rupert Clark, obviously the extension of the Carnival. And we will also take a close-up look at the Hunter over at Newcastle. We've got Nick McGualter on the panel, Will Alford, myself Ben Colucci as always, and we've got Tom Haylock. Tom, you've just punched in your name, the Baron. Thanks for coming on tonight.
It's good. Third time lucky. Yeah, the Baron. You stitched me up twice. You went easy this time.
Wasn't as bad.
How are we, guys?
Good. How are you?
We're good.
I'm tired. What a carnival. Yeah. It's one.
I just
one
keep on going.
One. Yeah, you're all right, Will. You're the youngest of us all, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sorry?
I don't know if he's going to make it through the podcast.
No, I'm fine. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the form.
If only the punters could see what you actually look like right now. You do not look okay.
You look
half asleep. Yeah, it
doesn't look well at all.
Sorry to keep you up, pal.
It's been a long couple of weeks.
Cup week, Tommy. 4 days. Will went to all four of them. I think I went to three, and every time I went, I saw you at the call of the card as well. So tell us about your week and how it went.
I've done everything. So went to every race meeting. I think I've been to every race meeting since, I want to say, Maccabi Day. We obviously did a Melbourne Cup show the Sunday for Betfair, and then had a function Sunday afternoon after Derby Day. We had Call of the Card Monday, straight into Cup Day, and what a week. I'm pretty exhausted, but we've got one more Saturday to get through in at Caulfield, and what a Group 1 day it is. I love the move. I don't know about you guys, but I love the move, and geez, imagine betting at Cranbourne this week. Couldn't think of anything worse.
That's next week's problem.
We've got the media right.
That's it. We'll do our best to find a few winners. We'll start with a bit of question time. Obviously, you've been in racing circles for quite a while now. I'm sure some of our listeners have listened to your stuff before, and some of them haven't as well. So you want to just touch on your story and how you made your way into the great game?
Yeah, Mum and Dad took me to the races when I was 12 and just loved it, guys. I don't know about you, but just caught the bogey when I was 12 and started doing the form. I said to Dad when I went to the races, it was Turnbull Stakes Day when I was 13, and Sunline beat Universal Prince. And I said to Dad then, I want to own a racehorse. And so since then I loved it. I used to do some form, obviously underage, but used to do the form and cut Herald Sun photos out and see where they'd finish off and how much they'd improve from the 400-meter mark to the finish line and stuff like that. Then started a website in 2013 with Matt Welsh. We met at Magic Millions, and started the trial files then, and we both worked our way and did some podcasts and media and radio through that, and we both ended up with some jobs in the industry, and I think Blair Gibson, Brad Davidson came along for the ride with some podcasts we did as well. So, yeah, we've come a long way, but thoroughly enjoyed it. Just love racing.
Yep. Some big names there.
I'm the smallest.
Yeah. Just well, the Matt Welsh name drop.
Yeah. The ex-head of Racing Victoria.
Nah, it's good stuff.
Good mate of mine. He's a ripper too.
A little bit about Betfair at the moment, some of the products you're sort of offering, and maybe a few tips on punters, how they best use the app.
Yeah, Betfair. So it is different to your corporate bookmakers. So Betfair is peer-to-peer, Ben. So it's like if you and I just met at a pub, you're a Carlton supporter. Who do you go for in the footy?
He's a Carlton supporter.
Carlton.
Well, yep, you look like Southern. A Carlton supporter, that's why. you're a Carlton supporter, I'm a Crows supporter. We don't trust each other, we want to have a bet. It's basically like us saying, you want to take $3 or I want to take $3 about the Crows, they'll be outsiders. We don't trust each other, so we hand the money to, and we have our bet, we hand the money to the bartender at the pub, and he holds the money and gives the winner the cash at the end of the game, but he takes a small percentage of the winnings. So that's Betfair in a simple probably example where it's peer-to-peer, so you're betting against each other or other people. You don't know the other side of the bet. But because of that, you end up with really good prices. So price advantage, if you've got any people that actually want better prices, head to Betfair. So you can also lay. So you can actually bet against things to not win. So if you don't like something, you can actually be the bookmaker as well. Yeah, so you often get good prices with Betfair, and we offer lots of different things. If you do have an edge, there's no better place to try your edge anyway, because you can back, you can lay, you can trade. People trade prices for a living as well. If you think Australia are going to lose two quick wickets in the T20 tonight, you can actually back Pakistan and then lay off during the match and trade odds like a stock market. So plenty going on. If you don't have a Betfair account, reach out to me or get one, because, yeah, it's definitely worth having if you like trading, you like markets, but actually just want to be more successful.
Yeah. And yourself, when you're betting on Betfair, what would you say your split would be between sort of taking an early price compared to taking the BSP?
The more educated, it's a great question. The more educated I get, the later I bet these days. I do bet a little bit early, but it's rare. And it's only if I do the form early and markets come up and you notice some glaring errors. So I know you guys like your futures bets. I don't do a lot of that anymore, but I use the market intel as well, because we are the market and all the big players play with Betfair in the last 2 or 3 minutes. I bet late, use that. I use the track patterns and bias and whatnot as well. So I try and bet a bit later these days. So I was betting early. No worse time to bet than Fridays at corporate bookmakers for a Saturday meeting. Market percentages are high. You're much better off betting after minimum bet laws come in at 9 a.m. or closer to the race. I do still bet with corporates. Not going to say all my activities are Betfair, but especially for anything over $10, you'd be mad not to bet at Betfair, because that's where the price advantages are.
Yeah. And I was listening to your podcast earlier today. What was the statistic? Something like 90-something percent of Groupon winners have paid better on Betfair?
I've got it here for you. 94.73% of runners over the Spring Carnival, the Melbourne Cup Carnival, so 94.73% of the Group 1 runners were better priced at Betfair.
Wow. Huge. Absolutely.
So why would you bet anywhere else?
Yeah. You should have bet. That's no joke of a statistic, punters. Make sure you jump on and sign up.
Another question, Tommy. Is the commission rate different depending on where you bet and what you're betting on, or is it a flat rate for, say, you're a Victorian customer, it's flat across the board, or does it vary depending on where you're betting and what you're betting on?
Yeah, it's the product you're betting on, so which jurisdiction. So market-based rates, you can find them all pretty clearly. So that's what I mean when you use the example of the bartender. The bartender takes a small percentage. That does change state to state. New South Wales is 10% market base rate, so we take out 10%. Usually your markets are around 101% at the end, so you're really betting into 110, 111% markets, as opposed to WSPs like Sportsbet or whatnot that are betting into 115, 120, and that's where we find the better price. Victoria race meetings are 7%, so better again than New South Wales, a cheaper product, and that's because of race fees and race fields and stuff like that.
And another question, how does the BSP figure actually come to fruition? Like, is it, how does the BSP price, yeah, how does it eventuate?
A few people would think that it's just the last traded price. Yeah. It's not that simple. It is kind of, but often with your, because you have people lay Betfair starting price, people back Betfair starting price. So it's the weight of money on both sides of the bet. When it is skewed or not that even according to the, it's hard to explain, according to the liquidity on one side of the bet. Say if you have 90% of people backing a horse and 10% laying, you'll get a skewed BSP. It does take money from either sides of the actual exchange as well, so the money that's sitting there. So it works out. It is the most accurate market you will find. $3 shots win 33% of the time. It's incredible over a long, long distance. There's probably a view or perception out there that it's so hard to beat Betfair, but that makes no sense when you're betting into markets when you're getting better prices. Every market there is, like the Betfair starting price is incredibly accurate, but every market there's mistakes and you can take on the big guys. There's guys that get the prices wrong, things that are drifting for reasons that you know they are drifting, might be horses first up off trials that the data teams don't like or do like and whatnot. So, yeah, every race has an edge or has outliers, but over a long distance, the BSP is incredibly accurate.
And just the last one for me, I'm a bit of a Hong Kong punter. Is there specific reasons around, correct me if I'm wrong, that Hong Kong racing isn't on the fair? Legal, obviously, they've got different types of rules and restrictions over there.
Same as Japan.
Don't mention the war, Ben. We offered Hong Kong races for approximately two weeks, I want to say, before the Hong Kong Jockey Club kicked up. We got it through all the regulators and whatnot and offered the product on Betfair. We got all these vests made that still swan around saying new to Betfair, Hong Kong racing or whatever. And they're just every now and then we see them in the office. But Hong Kong Jockey Club were concerned by lay betting, which they didn't really understand the concept of Betfair, and they thought that people could lay inadvertently. You could still do that in Hong Kong. You just back every other runner. Like it's not rocket science. So, so that's why we had it for a couple of weeks. This was 4 or 5 years ago before my time at Betfair, and they quickly stopped it.
Yeah, no.
Sorry about that, mate. We'll try and get it back.
That's right.
We'd love it back, I'll tell you.
So much cash. Yeah. So much cash over there.
Yeah. Correct.
No, it's
just on that. It's a big effect. We saw Singapore close or coming to a close. Offshore money that's going through illegal betting sites like Citibet that aren't regulated, they don't pay race fields. These jurisdictions, and it happened to Singapore, are losing, and it's going to happen in Australia as well, losing significant money to offshore betting like Citibet. So it's something to be mindful of. And that's the problem with if your governments are raising point of consumption taxes and whatnot, people will just start betting offshore, and it's happened overseas. Yeah. So
you got to invest in it.
They can't keep exchange. Not just the exchange. Like it happens with Sportsbet and stuff. If Sportsbet if they keep offering higher percentage markets, people will just start betting offshore.
Yeah. And the other popular product is obviously the live betting. I know a lot of people use Betfair and subarms of Betfair for their live betting.
Yep. Yeah, in-play betting in horse racing in particular is fascinating, and people do it for a living. And it's what I love about working at Betfair, because your clients, a lot of them are professionals in what they do, and they make money for a living through betting on the exchange, which you will not do at any other bookmakers. We actually encourage winning clients because we're taking a commission off their winnings, right? So I learn a lot from our clients. A lot of Betfair clients do bet in play, and you can back horses to or you can lay horses at the 400 if you don't think they're going to win. There's some really smart people. People seem to think that in-play betting is just backing the horse that's winning at the 50-meter mark at $1.01. It's not that simple. People like you might have a horse that's expected to. It might be wide. We use the powers of who won the 1,000 Guineas. What was its name again?
The Oaks or the 1,000 Guineas?
No, sorry, the Oaks. Yeah, sorry.
Treasure of the Moment.
Drew a sticky barrier. Had a $3.10 or $3.20 BSP. Had a tricky barrier, but lobbed in the 1-1. Perfect run in transit, and its price was the same in run as it was Betfair starting price. And that was the query. Incredible. So people will be smart enough to realize that and back it at that price because it's value.
Yeah, that's incredible. I will maintain that the best thing about Betfair is still the parties.
Yes. I thought you were going to say me, Ben.
They go hand in hand, Tom.
Yeah, correct. I am the party.
Yeah. No, it's always good seeing the crew down there. So hopefully
see you at Warrnambool. Magic Millions first.
We'll maintain this relationship and we'll keep getting an invitation, hopefully.
Correct.
All right, let's get to Caulfield, guys. The rail is out 6 metres. I've just had a look at the weather watch. It's going to be a very hot day and a potential for up to a 25-kilometre northerly wind, which could be in their faces. So, Tommy, do you have any idea about the track? We know this meeting last year was leaderish, but this wind sort of makes things interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people think hot day, rail out 6, Caulfield will be leaderish. It's actually the opposite with the north winds. We've got forecasts of 39 kilometres an hour of gusts as well. Mm. It's almost identical conditions to Underwood Day on September 21st. In that meeting, we had rail out 6, good track, north winds, similar gusts. It was northwest as opposed to maybe northeast Saturday, but very, very similar conditions. That track was really good. We saw Jimmy Starr come down the outside and make ground and come down the middle. We saw a couple of leaders run well. What you will find is down the side and from the chutes, they might go slower than expected because of that headwind. So if you're looking at tempos for the chute starts and horses around the side, they might not go as fast as you think. They just hold up in the breeze and you look for cover. So I'll be giving advantage to horses just off speed with cover, potentially in the running line. And that's how I've played the meeting.
Beautiful. All right, let's rip straight in. We're probably going to play into a lot of the Caulfield races. So we'll start in race one because that's where I'm playing. It's 1,700 metre, benchmark 74, and it is the Vale Colin McKenna. What a great man he was. And obviously another Will was going to be very hard to beat again in the group one. High Am Proud is $3.20. Shaw is $4.80. Rukaka Raider, $8. Our Kuva, $9. Farewell to Air is $9.50. I'm going to start us off with a bit of a bang because my best bet comes up in race one, number 8, High Am Proud. I think he has come back better this preparation. He hasn't put down a big rating just yet. So there is a chance that the real data nerds are going to miss this one and we might get potentially a better price because there are horses that have rated better than it. But it's been caught 4 wide no cover in both of its runs this preparation on fast tempos, which is just the absolute death chair position. And he's still been good enough to run second to O2 Good and then ran fourth, beaten less than a length by Electric Impulse. That was a very fast tempo on, what was it though? That might have been Oaks Day. They went 7 lengths faster than the class average to the 600, and he's posted 4 wide, no cover the entire way. He's going to get a lot better map from barrier 4 here. 1,700 metres is fine. And the form around O2 Good, who ran second to first up, and then O2 Good was just slipped out and lost the protest last start. I think that is the A1. And I think he will finally put down a rating that says he's a good horse third up this Saturday. So he's my best bet. Anyone else betting?
No, I didn't like the – I thought, you know, it hasn't run a rating yet and I can't back it. I sat 4 wide, but it was Flemington. I don't know. I could have something small on Sir Rockford and Kind Gesture, but other than that, I'm not necessarily interested in the race.
Yeah.
Just on High and Proud, that was a weird race where all the first 4 and run were all wide, which was an interesting map. And that Geelong form prior, they ran the first 3 in that MCC final, that $500 country race there. And the form that the horse that ran 7th or 8th place of gold came out and won. So that Geelong form reference 2 back has been really good. Nice horse, High and Proud, I agree.
Yep. All right, let's skip race 2. We'll go to race 3, which is a benchmark 84 over 1,400 metres. It's $5 the field. Sassy Boom is your favourite from Regal VL, $5.50. Bigolino, $6. The Shaper, $7.50. Little Jack, $9.50. And Eye of the Eagle is $10. Will, you're getting involved for the first time of the day, race 3.
Yeah, I'm disappointed it isn't me has come out because I didn't love it here. But I thought Regal Vow should clearly be favourite. I loved what it did at Maui. I like what it did in the splits. It was really good first up on a, you know, it was a rain-affected track. It was testing testing going at Maui. And there's just a few of these that are just, you know, they're coming off poor runs, and I think this is just the perfect sort of scenario for Regal Vow to just notch up another win. So Regal Vow is a really nice bet for me at $6 and race number 3 at Caulfield.
Beautiful. Let's keep the ball rolling with race 4. It is the Blue Sapphire Stakes, Group 3 for the 3-year-olds over 1,400 metres. Coleman is the class horse. He's also the $2.50 favourite from Pisces, $4.60. J-Mac can just about get anything to win this week, and this horse has been a little bit of a bridesmaid at times. Katojo is $5, Manos is $6.50, and I Am Velvet, $8.50. Tommy, I will hand the baton to you now. Who do you like here?
Yeah, I don't know what your ratings say, but Coleman's had 10 starts, and seven of his ratings are higher than anything else has done in their career. So he just needs to turn up in one piece and perform to somewhere near his best, and he's going to be incredibly hard to beat. He's got the weight scale. I mean, he's a 102 handicap rated horse. He's so well off. It's just whether he turns up on the back of a couple of grand finals. Now, we saw him in a Coolmore. He was probably a little unlucky there at the wrong time when he was starting to build momentum, and Ethan Brown was pretty kind on him late. I think he's clearly the horse to beat. The other one is Manos. I'm going to Dutch bet those two, number 1 and number 5. Manos is a nice horse, brings good Sydney form, maps to probably camp outside lead. Might not be the spot, but yeah, I don't want to lose if he wins. So Coleman clearly on top from Manos there.
Yeah. Nico, you're very keen. We logged on and we saw the ratings pre-post, even before the fields, and this thing has a bit of a class edge on them, and we're on a nice price, Coleman.
Yeah, well, we took the early price, which is looking like a bit of a luxury at the moment, but he's just so well in here, as Tommy alluded to. Like, fuck me. Pisces should be getting 12 kilos off him, and it's level weights. Cataldio should be getting 14 and a half. Like, he just has to turn up, and he should be winning here. He's drawn the perfect gate. Yeah, I don't know what else to add. He should just turn up and he should just win. Fingers crossed.
I think the other thing to add is some people might go, 1,400 metres, but it is worth noting that he did run third in the sires as a group, as a two-year-old in the group one behind
Manal and Traffic Warden.
Manal, Traffic Warden. I think Stormboy might have run fourth that day. So
yep.
That's the A1 form, and you can sort of be forgiving of the Coolmore run. Look back to two starts ago, and he's ran second to Switzerland, who's just absolutely towed them up in a Coolmore. So, yeah, he's one of the better bets of the day for me, but I've also backed Katojo all in as well. I just feel like he is still the one on the upward trajectory. He's drawn Barry 1. He's going to lead. Obviously, when I bet all in, I wasn't really concerned about the win, but it might not be favouring him, but I thought he did a pretty good job to win on Cup Day, and he's just one of those Gaybot horses who's just going to be fit, up and rolling, and if a few sort of regress, then he'll be right there to take him.
Like, he's raced in the deep end all preparation. He was weight for age, first two runs is preparation. There's some people out there with a narrative that reckon he should have beaten Switzerland in the Roman Consul. Well, they're delirious and delusional, because this shouldn't have happened, and Switzerland franked the form in the Coolmore.
But he did start favourite in front of Switzerland, which is worth noting as well.
Yeah, well, not enough people listened to the preview, did they? They were told that Switzerland was a good bet at $6. No one wanted to listen.
It's almost concerning that he's $2.50 here. And it's fascinating what the market does with him late and how it parades. Because
it could be odds on, like deep.
You could mark him $1.60 here if he turns up, but it's just whether he performs to his best, isn't it? So the betting is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it will be. Hopefully no stinky drifts, and hopefully he just wins. Race 5 is the Village Stakes. It's 1,100 metres, a listed event. Ferrari, she's a bit of a grey-up. She has failed twice down the straight. Can she bounce back? She's $3.40 favourite from Miraval. Rose, $3.70. Kins, $4. Saloui, $10. Holy Racket, $11. And Grinzinger Prince is $12. Will, what have you found here?
This is probably the keenest I am on any horse on Saturday. I really, really, really like Kin. They're going to...
Fuck me. You got Hinge to win last week and you want to go back to the well and try to get Kin to win.
This is definitely a bot horse. This is definitely a bot horse.
There's
a 30 to 40 kilometre headwind going into the chute. They're going to go slow here. And even if they go any sort of clip, Ferrari's like, what even is Ferrari? She was awful
last
time.
Car? From Wish?
Shut up. Kinda was a long way off the... She wasn't where the race was. She got way too far out of her ground. And the splits were really, really nice there. I think, you know, the Caulfield, the way it was sort of, you know, she'll just sit like a couple lengths off and she'll go peel out to the outside. And I think she's just got a bit on these, so... I love her with 54 kilos too. I'm really quite keen on her. I think she's a great bet at 420.
Yeah, I actually don't mind it because you've got Ferrari who feels a little bit beaten up. I mean, if she bounces back, then she's a chance. Miraval Rose, you know, she's a class horse, but is she an 1100 meter horse?
She's not running a number first up. Like if Kin runs a number, I'm like very confident she will run.
She'll run second.
Miraval Rose will have to go to her absolute best first up at 1100 meters, and I don't think that's happening personally.
Yeah, I don't actually mind the Kin bet. Is she potentially a little bit better, fresh, like completely fresh?
No, she's just a good horse.
She a little bit better in her own dreams when she's racing herself and she can't be beaten, or what?
Nico, return serve. Who do you like?
Oh. Miraval Rose will turn up and she'll win. She's the class horse of this field. 1200 would be a dead set moral. 1100 is my only slight query, but the stable have been pretty vocal in saying that she just never really settled in her last preparation. She caught wet track after wet track, which is what she just doesn't like. Yeah, and I think her work in the lead up to this has been fine. She's a horse that I've always had a lot of time for, and if she's anywhere sort of near her brilliant best, I think she'll be winning here.
Beautiful. Happy love the confidence. Love the confidence. All right, let's move on.
If all I've got to beat is Kin, I've got to be confident.
Race 6, which is the Thoroughbred Club of Australia Stakes. It's a 1,200-meter event for the three-year-old fillies. Group 3, Rich Doddy is $3.80 favourite. To Be or Not to Be is drawn the car park is $6. She's got Pizzazz $6.50, Grinzinger Pod $8, Legacy Bay $12, and Anisa $16. She hasn't done much since her two-year-old days. Tommy, what do you got here?
Yeah, one of my best value players of the day here. She's got Pizzazz. Think it should be shorter. Rich Doddy rates well, no doubt about that. Fast time, strong win last time. Latest dominated that race, and she had a pretty good run there, Rich Doddy. That was 1,000 metres at Moonee Valley. Now got to go 1,200 Caulfield, different ball game. You're playing a different sport there. She's got Pizzazz. Love that win. Good times. I know there's only two races, so it's pretty hard to compare, but good times, dynamic win. I know the stable have had an opinion of this horse. I was worried that she'd go to 1,000 guineas and have another run, but they freshened her up back to 1,200 metres or staying at the sprints. And, yeah, I love that win, and I'm happy to be with her each way. So she's got Pizzazz for me in a pretty open race. 8 last start winners, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the two that I've found as well, but the favourite, Rich Doddy, still is my number one bet. I thought it was a really, really good return there at Moonee Valley. I think out to 1,200 metres can only be a positive. Gate 10, Caulfield shoot. Look, you're hoping she gets a bit of cover, but, yeah, everything says to me that she is looking for further, and she sort of just beat them on class last start. I think you can forgive the Doomben run. Just went there and it didn't go to plan, but... did have an SP of $7 there after the Caulfield Heath win, which is worth noting. And as Tommy alluded to, the ratings are good. And then I'm going to have at least a saver or a smaller win bet on number 7. She's got Pizzazz because, gee, she came home fast last start. It was only a slow tempo, but she's clocked the fastest late splits of the entire meeting. I think she's come back better as well. So I'm happy to get rid of To Be or Not To Be, a second favourite, drawn the car park, and I'm happy to back 3 and 7. Boys, you playing this race?
That Kilmore track was fast, and you know, she picked him up. Like, she put a margin on him you shouldn't be able to put on. Doesn't matter, like, whatever class of horses, she put a margin on him, like, so quickly on a track racing that fast. She's a good horse, and you know, she showed glimpses first up. There was some nice first preparation, there were some nice SPs there to suggest she's got a, you know, a lot of talent. And she resumed first up like she was, you know, with like a bomb. And I think like these aren't like any sort of, these aren't group class horses or anything. These are, you know, I mean, oh, maybe that a couple of these might eventuate into being that, but I think she's quite a nice filly, and I think she might be I've got a just second favourite. I think the market. I think she's the one the market's gonna sort of grab a hold of and push towards close to favourite. I think.
Yep, sweet. Nico, you got anything here, or happy to skip along?
Skip along, sir.
All right, let's get to the main event, because race 7 is the 1,000 guineas 1,600 metre group on for the three-year-old fillies. We'll get to Tommy's, the horse that Tommy's got a bit of an interest in a second, but firstly the market. Number 2, Aliana, after her destructive win on Derby Day, is $3.40 favourite in the Carbine Club. Zatung is $4.20. Benagil, so big gap out to third favourite, $12. Stage and Screen, $12. Gigi's Mistruth, $13. Lovely Cut, $13. Dominetta, $15. Tommy, let's go to you first and give us the quick spiel on Lovely Cut. Obviously, it was an enormous run first up, and then second up, she's faced the breeze wide. How's the confidence levels from the camp, and what's race been telling you?
Yeah, you nailed it. Faced the breeze on that really windy. It was windier early in that day too, and it had a big effect on the first. And we saw Aliana get that perfect run with cover on a tempo that was better because they didn't realise how windy it was. And they've all come out in the second race and gone really slowly because of that headwind. And Lovely Cut was posted wide, didn't get in until she'd done a bit of work facing the breeze, and then she was in for 150 metres. And then stable races said she's come through the race better than she did first up. I loved the run. I don't know about you guys, but I thought her run was fantastic and as good. I think if you swap the runs for the first four, you could easily swap the results. She could have easily won that if she had cover at the right time and a bit of a suck run. She kept coming. It was the firmest track she'd faced. It's the furthest forward she's been. She was only second up where all the other horses were deeper into their campaigns, and I think she has more improvement. The winner, I don't like backing Godolphin horses deep into their campaigns, and you've got that with the winner of that race. So, yeah, I think if I was to take any of those through the vanity, I'd be taking Lovely Cut and Benagil. I'm just worried about Benagil back potentially last defence, and you might have to do a fair bit, but she was fantastic there, ran the fastest 400 and 200 of that race. So that'd be the two that I'd take out of the vanity. I am a little bit concerned with the breeze and the tempo here. You've got Tudun Lizzie and Dominetta, who didn't lead that vanity, surprisingly, because of the wind. You might have a similar scenario here. They might go really slowly. I'm against the favourite. I think Aliana ties into Dominetta, and who was third in the vanity, had every possible chance the way the race was run. Too short for mine. Back marker here, tricky barrier. So the best value in the race is Stage and Screen for mine. Maps to get the perfect run, has different form, wide last start, and kept battling on and got a lot of upside. So Stage and Screen for me is probably the best value, and I think Lovely Cut's getting out to a silly price now. So they'd be the two horses of key interest.
Yep. It's a two-bet play for me, and I am backing the favourite, but I'm also backing Lovely Cut. So,
oh, good man.
Yeah, I will start on the favourite quickly. I think she did elevate getting out to 1,600 metres last start in the Carbine Club. Obviously, the race was put on a bit of a silver platter for her, and she didn't beat a whole lot. But this is Chris Waller. This is James McDonald. This is grand final time. And I think she only needs to sort of hold that rating, and she's definitely finding out the finish. The map, potentially a little bit awkward from barrier 11. She'll get back, but if that northerly is blowing in their face, then potentially she has the best turn of foot in the race. But, yeah, I'm also backing Lovely Cut, and we sent it out as a bet to subscribers at $15. I thought she was excellent first up. The wraps have always been quite big. I think you rejected some offers to Hong Kong, Tommy. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Who have you been talking to?
I told you, I love my Hong Kong stuff. And then last start, like, she had every right to drop out of that race a lot further than what she did. She was excellent to still stick on, only beaten two lengths. $6.50 SP there. Now, all of a sudden, you get a really, really backable price. Damien Lane sticks. And off last start, I've got no real troubles with her stepping up to the mile. So,
if you watch her last 20 metres there, she was coming again on the line and making ground on the first three after that tough run. I thought that was fantastic for the 16 degree.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm happy to be on there as well. And this is absolutely no bias. I didn't know Tommy was coming on the podcast until a few days ago, and we were already invested.
Like it.
Yeah, I don't really have a hell of a lot more to add. They're the two horses that I'm playing, Benny. Yeah, only other horse that I really wanted to back, which is, I think she's just being crawled by the barrier, is GG's Mistruth. This has been a long-range plan, and I've got a bit of time for her. I think she's quite a nice filly, but I think her work is going to be extremely hard from barrier 12. It's going to need an all-time ride from Ben Malham. But yeah,
do they roll forward, Nico, like they did two starts ago for a tricky barrier? I'm hoping they do to add a bit of pressure, because two Waterhouse leaders, they could go slowly. So hopefully they just punch up and put some speed in.
Well, yeah, possibly. Maybe they've got it. Like you can't die wondering.
Yeah.
But then who knows whether they get in or not. But I suppose that's the chance that they've got to take. But yeah, I want to be with Lovely Cut. There's no bias in that. I think she's a nice filly and she's going in the right direction. But it also wouldn't surprise me in the same hand that Aliana, grand final day, as you alluded to, Benny, J-Mac, Waller, she ticked that 1,600-meter box last start and she was pretty arrogant in doing so, albeit it was probably served up for her to do that. But yeah, I'm keen to have those two bets in the race, but there will be a few more others that go in the quaddie because, it's a wide-open race. And there's some horses that have probably been a touch out of form that wouldn't surprise you if they showed up here. But, yeah, cracking race, but I'm hanging on the coattails, a Lovely Cut.
Beautiful. Come to the after party.
Oh, come on, I'll be there.
Let's get it home. I'm starting pre-season training next week, so I've promised myself I'm having a quiet weekend. We'll see what happens. Race 8 is the...
I was about to...
Oh, go on. You didn't put it down.
Oh, you've been asleep, mate. You're
like, yeah, I did. I guess
off.
I did. Check it again.
Oh,
Supercilious is a great bet in this. I thought she
should. She's been up for longer than you last weekend.
I don't care. she's a half to Marine One and Cannonball. Like the mum's a bit of a producer, and she ran some really nice splits down the outside in the lanes you didn't want to be in. I reckon she'll be a lot more forward from gate one, and I really quite like it, and I probably want to be on Aliana at $4. If I get $4, I'm going to back Aliana.
Love it. Irrelevant breeding information with Bot. It's become a weekly segment on this podcast.
It's more relevant than his tips.
Don't worry, Bot. It does make you sound a little bit sharper, maybe a tiny bit.
Well, that's all that matters, doesn't it?
Race 8 is the Victorian Country Cup final, 2,000 metres. I think it's worth half a mil, so some great prize money on offer for the Country Cup final. New York Hurricane is $4.40 favourite from Charterhouse. He won the Cranbourne Cup last year. He's going to this race this year. He's $6.
Oh,
Aaron Bay, $7. Keats, he's just the modern-day mouse wheel. He keeps running, $8. Torrenzino, $10. And Jimi Hendrix, $11. Well, the Baron, he's on his own here because none of us are betting into this race but you.
Yeah, I'm laying New York Hurricane. I think too short here. I know, proven at 2000, won the Cotton Cup, had the most perfect run you'll ever see there. And it was his home track, so don't forget that. Now he's got to do it at Flemington. Good draw, but is it a good draw? Because I reckon by this stage the fence might be off, and that's why I think he's under the odds. You can make a case of plenty. I went looking for, I don't know who rides yet. Has he got a rider on Torrenzino yet? Celine Gaudreau, that's not too bad for $10 shot. Loses J-Mac, but fastest final, 1,008.64 in that $500,000 country race on Cup Day. Looks suitable for the 2,000. We'll get back anyway. Flemington suits and 2,000. Drops 7 kilos, if you don't mind, down to 53 kilos in that race. So, yeah, each way all day for me at $10. Can make a case for plenty, but laying New York Hurricane and... something Torrenzino each way, hopefully the hamburger.
J-Mac was pretty happy with Torrenzino's run, from all reports, especially through the line.
Back me in, Nico, up to 2,000, down 7 kilos.
Oh, well, yeah, I could absolutely warm to that.
Yep. He's always had a fair bit of talent, Torrenzino.
And I'm happy that you're sticking the knife in New York Hurricane. Bad jockey change. And, I'm more than happy to follow you in.
I thought Milford was a little bit big in that race.
Yeah, if I was going to have a bet, I'd probably have something small Milford and also something small Mystery Island. It might still be one run away from Mystery Island. He might be more fourth up and out in trip, but he's a nice horse. And for his Warrnambool Cup deeds, he will never owe me another cent. Race 9 is the River Clark Stakes.
I think Aaron Bay goes in the quaddy as well.
Yeah, he has to. Consistent as all. Yeah. River Clark Stakes is race 9, 1,400 metre group 1. Handicap. The sparks are going to fly here. Jimmy Star is $3.30 favorite from Another Will, $3.60. Southport Tycoon was as short as $5 all in. He's now $10 after drawing wide, and he's got the 58 kilos. Number one saddlecloth, obviously. Charmstone 14s, War Machines 14s, and Climbing Star 16s. All right, Nicholas, we're going to war here. State your case for Another Will.
We're not going to war. You're already dead. I've already won the battle. This race is over. Jimmy Starr's got absolutely fucking none. Another will win by as far as you can kick your hat. He ticks Love every it. Single box in this race. I don't have one negative. I think he's just going to get the PR. If the fence is off, that's fine. He'll be off it. Jamie Carr and this horse go hand in hand. It was a brilliant victory last start. I think Jimmy Starr is an inferior horse to him. Had his chance to beat him last time. I don't think he's going to be awarded his chance to beat him this time. Because it's just a horrible map for him from barrier one. Any of the followers that have seen our little Twitter exchange last night will see all they need to see. I don't need to allude to it again. But I can't see how Jimmy Starr gets any sort of good run in this race. If they push forward with him, he's proven that he's not as effective as being ridden in his normal pattern. I suspect the fence is going to be off. I suspect he is going to be in a world of pain. And I think Another will PR. And, not only will I love it for my own pocket, but with everything that's gone on lately, I would love his favourite horse, Cole's favourite horse, to win. And racing gods have a funny way of doing things like that. So, Southport Tycoon can't possibly win from back in the field where he's going to be. He's going to be spotting Another Will a substantial distance, and I just can't see it happening. Yeah, I think Another Will's a moral. Simple as that.
Well, that's a good case made. Look, I personally just love winding up Nico on Twitter, as everyone else does. So
yeah, so is all those fake profiles.
I'm not as actually hard on this argument for Jimmy Starr as I probably.
Oh, good to see you.
I only came on for this argument.
Good to see you as strong behind your keyboard like the rest of the maggots on there. Then.
Well, I'm here for the argument.
I will make the argument. Don't soften. I'll make the argument then. I've got Jimmy Starr at an all-in price. So let me preface this by saying that no matter what happened, I was always going to be on his side. Every time Another Will has faced Group 1 pressure and fast tempos, he's absolutely crumbled twice.
That's the knock.
In the Doncaster and in the Toorak, he's went to shit. I don't think he's even run top three. Jimmy Starr's form at Caulfield is better than Another Will. His ratings at Caulfield are better than Another Will. He comes here. This was always the target race, fourth up. Another Will had a temperature last week. He was meant to run in the Champions Mile. So this is an afterthought for Another Will. They were preparing him from a 1,600-metre race last week, and that's always the race that they were going to run in. And now he comes to the River Clark after a temperature last week. So that's my case against Another Will. I think a fast tempo for Jimmy Starr. I know Barrier 1's not really ideal, but he does get a 1.5-kilo weight swing on Will. And with Buffalo River, you've obviously got Gentleman Roy, you've got Tuvalu, all putting good pressure in this race, Run Harry Run. Sometimes the suck run on the fence is where you want to be in a fast run race.
Well, hopefully Frosty Lane's got his jetpack and his ramps, because he'll need fucking both of them. And I personally think that Damien Lane, albeit he's a great jockey, he's not Blake Shinn on this horse. Blake's given this horse some serious steers, and I know who I'd rather have on the back of Jimmy Starr, and it wouldn't be Frosty.
Tom.
I think they'll get off the fence anyway, and Jimmy Starr will work along the fence by this stage of the day. I think he'll have clear room, but it's whether that's the inferior ground. I think they're both unders, to be honest. And you've both raised arguments of why they're why they're chinks in their armour. I couldn't possibly back either of them at their current prices. I can make cases for Charmstone, Komochi, War Machine against Southport Tycoon. One I will be having something small on goes into the quaddies, rolled on high. Smash Chrysaor and Stepardi in a Fred Best over 1,400 metres at Eagle Farm. Had an SP of $26 in a Stradbroke against Bella Nipotina and Steffi Magnetica, and it's the same price here, and that was only a couple of runs ago. So, yeah, couldn't get in the race first up. They went slow. Leaders dominated that race. So something rolled on high at a huge price for me.
Yep, like it. Will, any thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, it's not a... I don't think it's a betting race. I've got that's Jimmy so Starr.
Who would have thought? So fucking typical. The best race on the card. He doesn't want to have a bet. And he'll have a bet on the $6 of the field.
Start laying things on Betfair, Will. Come on.
No. Like,
we're the bookie.
You've got the bankroll to do it, champion.
At the prices now, I couldn't bet anything. Like by Saturday at whatever time this race is, I could be betting, but I've got Jimmy Starr 320. You know, if he gets out to 370, it could be a bet for me. 360, 370.
I reckon another Will will be backed.
Oh, like, fucking knows, because anyone with a brain will back him.
But you're going to get...
They smashed Jimmy last star, though.
Jimmy should be $6.
I think they'll smash Jimmy Starr. That's the
really? I reckon you'll get $3.80 on the fair Jimmy.
I reckon they'll just smash both of them and everything will get out. Like, they'll smash Jimmy... They'll push another wheel. They'll keep him safe and everything else will be gapped.
Yeah, yep. Won't be smashing it as hard as me to the keyboard of those noddies on Twitter when he pieces in. Don't you worry, I'll be coming for each and every one of you.
Pink button on Betfair. Come on.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I don't mind War Machine as well. I think he's a good up and comer. All right, race 10. Let's bookend the card here with two really good bets. The sports bet, How Now, stakes 1,200 metres. Group 3 for the mares. Neons is $2.80. She's bulletproof. $5.50, Infancy $10, Extra Two $10, and Cigar Flick is also $10. Tommy, surely the favorite's hard to beat.
Yeah, with Neons, clearly on top. Ties in through with She's Bulletproof through Pondalowi, which is interesting. I wanted to be against She's Bulletproof, but they do tie in through a couple of them. We saw the Neons form stack up with Isthmus as well, who had issues and was... not too bad, but yeah, I hard to be against Neons. Ran recommendation against recommendation in a trial, and that was superb, and then backed that up with a brilliant first up win. I think Nice Horse can win again, and no reason to jump off.
Yep. Nico, you want to go next?
Yeah, well, I've got this race by one scrotum, not two, or one and a half, not two.
What does that mean? I'm new to this.
Well,
it doesn't quite have another balls.
No one knows what Nico's saying 90% of the time.
I've had a good bet.
Phone gone to private browsing mode or something.
I've had a good bet on Neons, but I'm just a little dirty on myself that I didn't take 15-1. She's Bulletproof. I've got a fair opinion of her too, and I'm a little worried that I haven't backed She's Bulletproof, but I do think, all things being equal, Neons is the better horse now and the better horse into the future. So yeah, I'm just backing Jordy in. I think the draw's perfect. Everything sort of ticks the box for me, and I think She's Bulletproof is going to have to be probably a pair or two behind Neons and going to have her work cut out to chase her down. So, yeah, really keen Neons. I think it's a good way to finish the day in Melbourne.
Yep, she's the if my thing in the first race is the best bet of the day, the Neons is the second best bet of the day. She put down a new career peak rating last start at Caulfield. There were really big gaps from sort of third to fourth to fifth, which I really like. There was fast tempo. It rated big on both Form King and punting form. And I think she just maps for the absolute sweetest run ever here from barrier seven. She obviously beat Isthmus last time, who pulled up lame and had excuses, but Isthmus has since gone through the roof. And this mare started a clear-cut favorite in front of Isthmus. This is the one they wanted to back. So I think she can, if she doesn't elevate, I think she can at least hold her rating from last start. And that makes her extremely hard to beat. So yeah, she looks a good way out. $3 is a fair enough price. All right. We go from scrotums to Sydney. as Newcastle has got the Hunter.
I was wondering why I couldn't find any Sydney racing. They're not racing at Rosehill or Randwick.
PVL's already got black type status on it. It's gone to a group two. It's 1,300 metres. Briassa, $2.80 favourite from Far Too Easy, $4.40. Private Eye, $6.50. Coal Crusher, last year's winner, $10. Merchant, Royal Merchant is $11. And Katili is $16. Tom, who do you like here? It's currently a soft six in Sydney.
Oh, I see what Nico was talking about. This race is absolute balls. It is awful, the Hunter. How's this worth $1 million? I would have been with Private Eye, but just drawn really awkwardly with the blinkers on again. Well, I don't know where he gets to from 14, and I hate Joe Pride's tactics generally. No idea. I went looking for Far Too Easy off a brilliant win last up, but too short for me. And then you got Briassi down the bottom, who's up and coming. Hard to line up. Can win. But, yeah, I just think the favourites are too short. You can put numbers against most other runners. So, tricky race.
Mate, the favourite in this race is coming out of a midweek race, and it's $2.90 in a million-dollar race. What are we doing?
Your line there is two back rather than the Kensington win. You'd rather look at the Ostraka.
Should be unbeaten this two back.
Yeah.
Zach Lloyd, absolutely fucking slow.
Oh, this is this
one. Five wide the entire.
He's spattling at the moment, Zach Lloyd, isn't he? He butchers him occasionally.
That was one of the worst rides I've ever seen.
Can we take him off Territory Express? Maybe just get the horse to the middle for once?
I'm backing a few here. I've taken all-in odds on Briassa. Very, very good price. Probably three times the price of the current quote. So if you're interested in sort of all-in betting, then make sure you sign up to the 6-day. He gets in with 53 kilos here. He's a horse, as Nico said, should be unbeaten, and it's just so hard to put a ceiling on these unbeaten horses. He comes up against a lot of horses that are either beaten up or they also map quite sticky. So I think you can wait. I don't think he'll get any shorter than he is right now. I think a horse you have to have something small on is number three, Rustic Steel. This is the local. Chris Lee's horse, he's at the track. He's five starts for three wins and a placing. He put down a big new career peak last start at Hawkesbury. And back to 1,300 metres is a little bit of a pain point, but he draws really well on barrier three. I think he's slightly over the odds at 20s. And if Danny St. Darcy does run here, I don't think it is, because no jockey, then $51 is way too big. I think she will go to Caulfield, but if she does come here, then I'm interested here as well. Nick?
Yeah, I'm keen to be with Briassa. Obviously, we outlined that the horse should be unbeaten this preparation, and it's unlike the Hawks camp to throw their horses in the deep end. They normally side on the aura of caution and sort of just take their horses baby steps. But this has been a set play. This horse is beating the handicapper. It's a nice animal against some horses here who have got their fair share of convictions as we speak. And I think the price is probably rock bottom now, a bit short, but obviously we're in a bit better position than the current quote. So I still think he will be winning the race, and I still think you should back him. But I think maybe you'll get a better price closer to the jump. But it's the best time to back these horses when they're on the way up. So I suggest you do that if you like winning.
Sweet. Let's get this podcast moving a little bit more. Tommy, we don't have any bets in race 9, but did you have any thoughts on the listed 2,300?
No, I thought the top two were the ones I'll be focusing on, if any.
Sweet. All right, Nico, give us your WA, your Ascot set in a couple minutes.
Two minutes.
West is best on Saturday. This is my my backlay prey all feature over here, and I'm extremely keen for the upcoming Ascot Carnival. Race 4, I was umming and ahhing whether to back Joker's Grill or not, but on further research into the race, I think he just simply wins here. He's up against not much. This is a horse on the up. He was pretty good last start. I expect him to improve second up here, and I don't see why he won't take care of these again. So I think he's a good bet. Divine Belief is the main danger in the marketplace. And there's two of him, and he's copped a few PRs this time last year from Damien Oliver to probably make him look a little bit better than what he really is. So I think Joker's Grin will win race four. My equal lay of the day with Jimmy Starr in race five is number one, Western Empire. I can't figure out why he's $2.50. He's not an 1,100-meter horse. He's a really good horse, but he's not an 1,100-meter horse. So I think 250, barrier one, is poison. The two horses in the back in the race that I want to back is number eight, Almighty Class, progressive sprinting horse over there that is unbeaten this preparation, two from two. Maps to go well, and I just think you back sprinters in sprinting races. I think the knockout horse in the race is number six, Boots Like Bruce. This horse has an impeccable second up record, three from four, albeit he's not as good as some of these other horses, but it could be a right place, right time situation for him. So yeah, I think Western Empire is the lay of the day, and I want to be with Almighty Class and small Boots Like Bruce. We head over to race seven, the RJ Peter Stakes, which is the win and you're in to the Railway Stakes next week. The horse I want to be with is number 12, Younger Lass. This horse was gallant first up, had the right SP profile, got back sort of a little bit of an impeded passage on the way through. Second up here, go time. You've got the best trio combination over there, grand final trainers in Grant Nalana with Pikey. I think the writing's on the wall just for this horse to win and be a knockout chance in a railway next week. And the last bet is in race nine, the Boss Lady. This horse has an impeccable second up record, unbeaten. It's unbeaten track and trip. It's been a horse that the faithful would have backed in the past because it's been good to us. And I think it's a fantastic way to end the card. So that's my betting strategy over there.
Yep, good set. I've only got one in WA, and I'm going head-to-head with Nico in race seven in the RJ Peters. I am with Mr. Bob Peters, and I'm with number eight, Love and War, who draws barrier eight. I thought her first up run was super, behind Super Smink. That was over 1,400 metres. The step up to the mile is suitable, is unbeaten second up from two starts, and gets Chris Parnham on board, who's probably the best jockey in Western Australia at the moment. He probably does edgy out William Pike just at the moment. He's absolutely low flying. She did have a SP of $21 last start, and Younger Lass, Nico's horse, was $3.40 second elect behind Super Smink. So I think we'll get a better price for Love and War based on that. And she did beat her home fair and square. So I don't think there were too many excuses for Younger Lass, and I think Love and War will beat her home again. So I think we'll get north of $4 come Saturday, and I think she looks a good bet at that price.
The other roughie in that race is number seven, Investment Strategy.
Yeah, good horse on his day. Yep. Hasn't done a whole lot, but...
Hasn't, but unbeaten second up, two from two. This is a bit of a set play because a lot of these horses need to get into the railway next week, so...
Yeah. Tommy, you got anything around the grounds?
I have not, no.
Will, anything?
No, I haven't had a chance to look yet.
All right, the only thing, other thing I will touch on is Sunday in Hong Kong. This is the final big day before the big Hong Kong International Races meeting in December. There are three races. Obviously, there's the sprint, there's the mile, and there's the 2,000-meter race. In the sprint, this favorite, he looks incredibly hard to beat. Ka Ying Rising, his name is, David Hayes. David Hayes could potentially have the best, or definitely top three, I think, sprinters in the world right now of this horse. Is nine starts for seven wins, almost broke the Sha Tin track record last start, and Zach Purton hardly pushed him out. He'll be a very short price favorite for the Hong Kong sprint come December, and Zach Purton rides. So the gate is a little bit tricky, but I think he'll be taking care of him again. He is a very, very exciting horse. In race eight, it looks a bit of a match race between three horses. Number one, Voyage Bubble. Number two, Beauty Eternal. And number five, Galaxy Patch. Ricky Hughes come out and said Voyage Bubble with James McDonald on board will be turning the tables on Galaxy Patch. And I can see why, because he did have a wide run last time around. He's got to give Galaxy Patch a few kilos. And Galaxy Patch draws better than him. So I haven't quite decided which way I'm going there. And then in race nine, we get to see the 2023 Cox Plate winner return Number one, Romantic Warrior. He draws barrier one. James McDonald sticks. He comes up against very little here. I would be expecting probably $1.30 SP. He's looked fine in all his trials, so he really should be taking care of these. I think he's unbeaten since returning to Hong Kong. He went to Japan and won at a mile. So, yeah, he's putting his hand up as the best horse in the world at the moment for a body of work and what he's done. So he's an absolute champion, and we expect him to be winning on Saturday. Tommy, do you have a Sunday, I should say. Tommy, do you have a lay and a pray as Nico sort of just reeled off?
Yes. I really can play in race four. Coleman and Manos. I think one of those two wins. My lay would be the country race New York Hurricane against that. What was the other one? What do I need for the other? Value?
A pray, yeah. Double figures or something like that.
The praise probably rolled on high in the group one at a huge price. You'll get 50 or 60s on Betfair, but I think the best value, she's got Pizzazz in the Australia Stakes there. There are six.
Beautiful. I'll go best bet, race one, Caulfield, number eight, High Am Proud. My lay, I'm going to make it 1,000 guineas. I agree with Tommy. I don't like Godolphin horses deep in preparations. I know James Cummings is getting better at it, but I'm still against Zetung, the number four. And my best each way, let's make it Rustic Steel in the Hunter. I think he can run a bit of a race. He's the local for Chris Lees, and don't be surprised if he's running top three. Will, anything?
Kin's my best bet. Super Silly's is my prey, and I don't really have a lay this week.
Sweet. All right, a few questions before we wrap up. We'll speed through these. Muggs Punning says, why the F does Joe Pride know nothing about placement? He must have been on private eye in Caulfield, I reckon. There's a few of us on at the each way odds all in. Tom, what would you? This is from Tyson Hunter. Tom, what would you say about Hinged and Buckaroo? Would you say they are winners?
I love Hinge. gee, that was good. I had an absolute fill up on Hinge. Nick Foot on my podcast said she's a non-winner and a cat.
She is a non-winner.
No, she's not. She still finds the line. She still tries.
One sunny day doesn't make a summer, Tommy. Well,
it does if you back her that one sunny day.
Yeah.
Come on, Nico. Come on. It's time to
go. Don't be bitter.
All right. Ty says, Tom, thoughts on Bott's fist pump for the Champion's Mile. Did you see our great man on TV?
I didn't. What happened here?
Carrying on like an absolute
bull. You flicked that, Tommy.
I was in the ownership thing for Mr. Brightside when he won. I went off.
He went off. It was one of the biggest fist pumps you've ever seen.
The greatest fist pump.
He nearly threw himself off the stand.
If I was say that so aggressive. Myself.
There's his shoulder. Is that why you're lying like that?
Oh.
No, I'm just lying down.
He's been cast all week.
Oh. You'd think for someone 18 years old, he'd
have a better
constitution, but you're like a frail team.
Oh, mate, I've got a great constitution.
Big Saturday night, it up with a big Sunday night. It'll kill anyone. Coops Irwin, if you were a Hong Kong horse, what would your racing name be?
They're all the same in Hong Kong. I don't even know who Kai Ying Rising was because they all sound the same, so I get confused with them.
Happy Dolphin is the name I'm going to give a horse if he ever goes over there. Nico, is I am Velvet in the 1,000 guineas field yet? You've torched a few all-in bets here, Nico, at the start of spring.
I am Velvet is more of a head case than me. That's why she's not in the 1,000 guineas.
That's a tough.
I don't know how you guys do it. I would have loaded Lovely Cut. She was $15 throughout as soon as she went in the market.
Yeah. All about Lovely Cut. Yeah.
There are good ones and there are very bad bets as well we have, don't worry. Ben, if there was a future for chicken racing, you found some filthy overs, would you bet? Yes.
Nathan 100%.
Don't ask stupid questions.
What's bigger, Hinge's Will to Win or Bott's Wallet after Saturday? Bott's Wallet would have been a bit bigger if Nadal had a one, so sorry to bring that sore point up.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you book shit jockeys. You get shit rides, son.
Isaac Fry says, Nico plus Hinged, please. Smiley face. Yep, we love that. Stu's got two questions. Spring's over. Are you ready for my kinky photos and videos? No, no. We're not. We're not. And Stu says,
Nico is. Boys.
No, definitely yeah. not.
Nico's all into scrotums and the like. Stu says, will you boys come fishing with me? Maybe we could try and get Brad Davo.
Yeah.
As a
as long as we're catching sashimi, that's fine.
These questions are shit tonight.
I've got one for Tommy, actually, from a mutual friend of ours.
All right, the last one is from Cooper, and it is a legit question. Tom, would you say no? What, Cooper? This is not good grammar. This is not good grammar.
I reckon he does it on purpose.
Would you say you are the principal of teaching punters?
No, I'm very fortunate that I learned from a lot of good punters, so that puts me in a good position. Deal with some of the best punters in Australia, if not the world, so that helps.
Beautiful.
Nick, never stop learning.
My question for Tommy is, has he ever missed the races with the boys to go to a certain other activity?
This is a loaded question.
If so, where was it?
You're
elude the punters.
Him under the bus here.
This is not a question. This is a statement.
I reckon we'll end the podcast there.
Did you ever miss that? Did you? you'll know in a minute.
I actually can't think of what they're saying. If it's what I think it is, it wasn't the races that I missed.
you went somewhere with someone instead of going to the races with your
mates. It wasn't to the races.
For a birthday.
It was a mate's birthday. It wasn't the races. But yes, I did go to Missy Higgins.
Oh, beautiful. That's not that bad.
It was partner's birthday. Come on.
Cop that, Milo. Cop that.
Milo, what a... You can't even get the story right.
Yeah.
Milo and the Labian. First one on...
That's pretty...
Yes, do that on Sunday. You put him in the Labian on Sunday for dodgy storytelling.
Lives in the Labian.
Oh, it's a great show on Sunday. Half the time I'm too hungover, though, to actually concentrate and listen
that's
to
perfect.
It.
That's perfect. We talk shit, so that's our demographic.
Stuff. All right. Thank you very much for coming on, mate. We appreciate your
guys.
Time. We know you're a busy man. So
go Lovely Cut.
Yes. Cheers home. Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Go Lovely Cut. I'll be expecting a phone call at 5 p.m. Shall she win? 5
a.m.
There you go. Either or. All right. Thanks, guys. Happy punting this week, and we'll see you back here next week.